match.
Wow. Joey D with the flow going, man. That hair is really coming into its own. Looks good, dude.
No hat today.
Hair's been in its own for a long time now.
But it is really becoming something special, man.
The back's starting to come in too now, which is nice. So how are we doing, boys?
Joseph.
Mikey V, how we doing?
Another day, another day living the dream, Joe.
You know what I've noticed about Mikey V is he comes on every episode, he's a little tired, you can tell, but then like halfway through the episode he gets jonesed up. Like you start getting him talking about sports and he gets electrified.
I'll tell you what, he came out at me early on yesterday
how in 2023 you can't have the headphones hooked up correctly. Why? Let me ask you this. Why is there never a technical issue on my end? Ever? Why? Why is that? The most tech-savvy guy? Well, you couldn't hear anybody yesterday, Joe. And then the laptop, you didn't know the password. And then you didn't have the computer. But you're not the only guilty party. Bob is not immune to this.
Bob is Wi-Fi. 90% of the problem. I think if you take Bob away, you'd have no issue with my one-time headphone situation.
Well. On the Sportsman, we've had a couple. Do you know the password to your computer at this point?
Yes.
You do. You figure it out.
Well, Best Buy had to reset it.
They reset it, right? Yeah, yeah. They did a full factory reset, right? They had to clear the whole thing.
Holy shit, man. And they set it to 1, 2, 3, 4, and I haven't changed it. Because I don't want to.
It doesn't suck.
I wouldn't announce that.
It doesn't suck. Who's going to get on my laptop? He bought the computer 2 weeks ago. It's not a huge loss for the guy.
Well, it was just an inconvenience. And the thing that really pissed me off, I paid for Microsoft Office, so like Word, Excel, they were supposed to input all that on the computer, and I was home the other day trying to work on my MC speech. I don't have Office. They said, buy Microsoft Office, so I got to go back to Best Buy. The bottom line is do not trust these Geek Squad Best Buy guys.
I'm surprised you bought the Microsoft suite, Joe. I mean, I can't see you running too many Excel spreadsheets anytime soon formulating cells, you know. For what purpose, I don't know. But I would change the password on the computer, Joe. I would.
Why?
Because you're like Mel Brooks in Spaceballs with his luggage, where the password's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You want to change that.
I'm scared that if I change it, I'm going to mess
you're
it up.
Forget it. You can make it something dumb stupid.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just not tech savvy. I'm learning more and more. I used to think I was really tech savvy. And as I get older, I feel more and more like I'm becoming, you know, my parents, which is just, you know, it's a great thing in some ways, but not in this realm.
Listen, things are changing. You know, you don't need to know your password the same way you used to, but we are back here with another episode of The Sportsman. That is Joey D up there in the top left. That is Mikey V down below. And I am the Big Ticket, your host of the show here. And boys, let's just, you know, all computers aside, let's just jump right into it. The NBA playoffs are in full swing. Things have changed. We've got Andre down there. We got Dre.
He's joining us. Dre is joining us.
We got a little Dre.
Oh, Dre, boy. Say hi. Say hi.
As a dog. That is you. If you were a dog, Joe, you were Dre.
I think so. People say we look very similar. That salt and pepper that we got going
That's fair enough. Now,
confirmed
Joe,
Bowser.
Joe, I want to know what you think about the NBA playoffs, how it's shaping up, how are your bets looking? But more importantly, how do you feel about the last four teams standing? The Lakers, the Nuggets.
I mean, I called this when we did the episode with Mikey V. I said I thought the Lakers were gonna beat the Warriors. You know, which seemed at the time like, you know, a far-fetched pick. And I thought the Celtics would come out victorious over the Sixers. And I still think that. I still think the Lakers are going to beat the Nuggets. I think it's going to be a tough series. Wow. Listen, the Lakers are like – the Lakers of this year remind me of the New York Giants of the NFL when they went on to win the Super Bowl both times. They didn't have the right nucleus early on. They had a lot of issues and they kind of came into their own but towards the middle of the season, they're running hot right now, and they got guys who are making plays. The bench is pretty much loaded. They got guys who can step up night in, night out between D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves, and then Schroeder can put up some points. And then you got the big guns between Anthony Davis, and LeBron doesn't have to be the guy anymore. He could just contribute and, you know, and facilitate and do what he does best. So I think they're poised to make a run. Now, I still think Boston is the team to beat of the four remaining. It's going to be really interesting to see how, in this Nugget series, how AD is going to be able to contain Jokic, because that is going to be really interesting to watch. But it's been awesome. The playoffs have been very enjoyable to watch. For as little NBA as I watched throughout the year, I've watched a ton throughout the playoffs. It's been really enjoyable. And, I'm going to stick with my picks going through. I think the Lakers go through. I think the Celtics go through. I think we have a barn burner of an NBA championship.
Mikey V?
Yeah, I mean, I picked the Celtics to win the East, so I'm still alive there. I picked the Warriors to win the whole thing, so I'm out. But I wasn't going to switch off the Warriors because I took them against the Kings, so I wanted to just ride it out. I think that this series, the Western Conference Finals, will be a good series. I think that Jokic, if AD, ends up just shutting him out completely, which I don't know if that's gonna happen, but I don't disagree with Joe. I think the Lakers certainly are making a run at it. It does seem like they're kind of like the team that's making the run at it. Like the hot kind of looks like, I'm not going to say they look like the best team, but to me, they kind of feel like they're the team of, if there's a team of destiny feel to it, I kind of feel that it's probably the Lakers. It looks like it's the Lakers. So it'd be hard pressed to go against them. That being said, I think that the series against the Nuggets will go at least six games, maybe seven. Yeah. And it should be an entertaining series. It's probably, two of the best teams, definitely. Most entertaining players, definitely. So it should be interesting. I'm going to root for the Nuggets. I don't want to see the Lakers win, but I wouldn't be surprised if they do emerge. And like you had said a couple weeks back, I think it was you, Tick, Lakers Celtics would be, or maybe it was Joe.
Yeah.
Lakers Celtics would be an incredibly entertaining finals, and it would draw very well. I'm sure Adam Silver is salivating over the prospect of having Celtics Lakers as the final. I mean, that is as blue chip of a NBA final matchup as you could possibly get. So with all the history between these two franchises, obviously championships galore between the two of them, legendary players galore.
And big markets, East Coast, big market, West Coast.
It'll be East Coast versus West Coast, yeah.
And Lakers-Boston, I mean, that's as historic as it gets.
It is.
Now, boys, we've got a 6.5-point spread. You've kind of told us who you guys think is going to win the game, but if you're a betting man, 6.5 points in favor of Denver.
Oh, that's for tonight.
For tonight. Correct.
Yeah, game one. I like the over tonight, 222.5, I think it is. If I was to make a play, it would be on the over, 222.5. Six and a half. What are the Lakers giving? 6.5? No, they're getting 6.5, right?
They're getting six and a half.
I'd take the Lakers.
I'd take Denver tonight. Yeah. Really? I think Denver comes out.
Really?
I think Denver lays a beat down tonight. And then I think the Lakers might steal game two.
I think that's a lot of points. I would take the light show. Plus, give me the light show with the points.
I'm leaning that way too. But Joe, just to be clear, you do have the Lakers winning the series though.
I think they win the series. I think they get one of these games in Denver. I just think tonight, I think the Lakers, might come out a little slow out of the gates. I think Denver's riding a high. I think Denver covers tonight. I would bet the Lakers to win game two, but you never know. I mean, it's good. Like Mikey V said, I would anticipate this to be a long series. I don't think either team's going to win in four or five. I think whoever does win this is going to be a 6 or 7-game series, though. I think that's a fair shake to put your money on. And it's going to be interesting.
Almost everything we've seen this NBA playoffs has been, nothing's been short of five. I mean, I think there was one 5-game series, and I think that was it. I mean, I think everything's been going, everyone's been competitive.
The Heat dismantled the Bulls, I think, in five.
Yeah, that's true. That did happen. But I think I would...
The Nets made the playoffs, didn't they? They got beat.
They got blown out by the Sixers in four.
In four, yes. I was going to say.
Yeah, early on. But ever since the semifinals, I think everything's been pretty evenly keeled. But I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the Sixers, guys. Oh, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up
the Sixers. You gotta be happy Doc Rivers is gone.
I got a lot to say. And he's part. But I want to hear what you boys have to say about it. I want to hear an objective perspective on what happened. We had two games to win one, and we lost game six, and we lost game seven convincingly. And I just want to hear an objective perspective on what happened there, Mikey V.
I'll start just because I'm quick. From what I understand, I'm in Jersey, obviously, and I have a lot of friends who live in South Jersey who are big-time Philly fanatics across the board. Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, big-time Philly fans. All they do is they have turned on Joel Embiid, man. These people have labeled him as a regular season player, not a postseason player. They felt as though he should have been scoring 40 points a game in this series, that he should have been lighting up the Celtics inside. I'm going to say this. I don't know if it's as much Embiid from my observation. To me, I think the Celtics were just the better team. That's one. And two, James Harden, we talked about this a week ago or 2 weeks ago, when he's really good, man, he could be the best player on the floor by a good margin. But the problem with Harden is you can't fucking rely on him. He's not reliable. You can't hang your hat on James Harden going out there and being James Harden, the superstar, every single night. You can't do that. That's a disadvantage. I think they got to move on from Doc Rivers, right? Because they lost in the semis three straight years in a row now. So they got to move on from Rivers, which, okay, is the move. But I don't know. The vibe I'm getting and from people, local people that are big Philly fans, is they are fucking fed up with Embiid winning the MVP, but calling him, you know, the practice MVP or the regular season MVP. Now, listen, I'm not ripping Embiid because I can't judge him to that degree. I don't claim to be a gigantic Sixers fan or NBA guy, so I'm not going to judge him or hold him to the fire for that. Ticket, you probably have – your opinion is the most valuable one out of all three of us. That's your team. So, you know, you're going to have your opinion carries the most weight here.
Yeah, he's not wrong. I'll piggyback off what Mikey V said. James Harden is a great number two guy. He's no longer a number one guy and I don't think you can rely on him as a number one guy. That being said, James Harden won two games of this series.
He did.
For the Sixers.
He did.
Which is more than you should be asking for the guy to do. The problem to me is Joel Embiid. Now, he missed the first game due to injury. Fair enough. They won it in Boston on the road with Harden. Mm-hmm. Then I think he had out of the seven games, he maybe put up one or two really good games. Aside from that, I think on last week's episode or 2 weeks ago, he looked like he didn't want the ball towards the end of the game when James Harden won them that other game and hit the three as the time almost expired. And I said he's got to step up because he's got to be their number one guy, and he's got to dominate the way that you saw Jason Tatum dominate game seven, scoring 51 points. Give me the rock. Get out of the way. I want the ball. And he doesn't have this mentality, which means between him and James Harden, there's kind of no number one guy there because no one really wanted to take the ball in game seven. And their shooting was atrocious. And so I think it's a double-edged sword. I think, Embiid's a great player, but when it comes to the playoffs, he's never really dominated to the point where like he's taken over a series. And I think that's the next progression where he needs to do. You know, you see some guys like that. You know, I'll make another comparison. It's tough for me to say this, but Aaron Rodgers in the season would always win. You come to the playoffs and, you know, it's like you're expecting him to do special things and he would. But when it got to the big time game, you know, the NFC championship game, which is like Embiid in this West, you know, in the Eastern Conference, well, it wasn't the Eastern Conference championship, but he couldn't do it. And it's just like, it's tough. It's a tough place to be, but the development of a player to me that really gets it is a guy who can be expected to perform and then goes out and performs when he's expected to in the big game.
Yeah. I wouldn't even put Joel Embiid anywhere near Aaron Rodgers' name. I think this team's atrocious. I think it was one of the worst defeats I've seen. And, you know, it's Monday morning quarterbacking, and I'm deflated. I'm deflated, but it was one of the most embarrassing defeats I've ever seen from a Philly team since I've been alive. Now, let me rattle off some of these MVPs for you. Let me rattle off some of them, and you tell me if they ever take a night off. Maybe they take one night off out of 10 games. Jokic, Antetokounmpo, Curry, Durant, LeBron, Derrick Rose when he was healthy, Nowitzki, Kobe Bryant. Do any of those guys I mean, they're there for you.
Giannis, this year, he caught it rough this year, and they were giving him a lot of shit.
Embiid is there.
Giannis won them the championship last year.
He did.
Two years ago.
Shows up 70% of the time, and that's when you see him on ESPN. And the other 30% of the time is when he's on NBC Philly, and no one shows the highlights, and he shits the bed. This guy is not the same as those guys. Now, am I saying he doesn't deserve the MVP? Of course not. He earned it. I mean, my guy's been fighting with Jokic for the last 2 years. I think he absolutely has the talent to do it, but he simply does not. I'm not even going to say he's not clutch. It seems to be completely ambiguous when he's going to show up and when he's not. He can show up in a huge game, and then he can just not show up in a game in July. This guy just doesn't, he just takes nights off. And then you partner him with a guy like James Harden, who has notoriously his whole career always been a guy who was inconsistent. Now you got two inconsistent guys who never show up for you. And they did. We luckily got a James Harden game. We got two James Harden games, and we got one and a half of a Joel Embiid game. And that got us to three games. And we had two games to win it again. And we shit the bed. You know why? Because the Celtics are a complete basketball team.
That's what I'm saying. That's as simple as I tweeted it out after the series ended. I said, a lot of people are trying to dissect this left, right, upwards, down. I said, right. I think I just think the Celtics were a better overall team. That's all. And that's, you know, no shame to the Sixers, but the NBA, it's like, if you don't have like that alpha dog, and the Nets tried to do it with Durant and with Kyrie and with Harden, and if they couldn't even sniff it with those three guys, now granted, Durant was coming off that injury. He missed it in his entire first year.
And they were all young.
Understandable, but at the same time, like if you can't get it done with those three guys, like, don't think that you're just going to get it done because you got, you know, a one time now.
But you know what the problem is, Mikey V? You know what the problem is, have you ever seen a team as good as the Sixers and as promising as the Sixers? And usually when you're in a position, whether in any sport, football, hockey, baseball, basketball, you'd think a team like the Sixers are one piece away, one move away. Yeah, one thing. When I look at the Sixers, as good as they are, you need to change almost everything. And we already have. Doc Rivers is gone, thank God. One of the worst coaches to ever sit foot on a basketball court.
I think that Joe's analogy of the Packers was not a bad one. Now, he gave the analogy of Rodgers specifically. Maybe the analogy for that is the Packers, because every year it was like, all right, the Packers are one piece away. They got the all-world quarterback. They got the all-world wide receiver. They got the all-world running back. They got the perennial all-pro left tackle. They have a couple pass rushers. They have a stud corner. Like, they're just – every year it felt like, what's really the one point move Green Bay is going to make that's going to put – but they never made the move. They never went out and got super aggressive to get it. Now, the Sixers went out and got Harden. Yes, the Sixers went out and got Harden. There's no doubt, but I'm saying in terms of a team that feels like they're one piece away, and it turns out that they weren't one piece away, and now they got to tear down the whole thing, and that's kind of what Green Bay, not necessarily, Green Bay's not rebuilding the whole thing, but certainly they're entering a brand new era of Green Bay football without Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, without being a full rebuild, it's still a rebuild to some effect, but you're talking about two teams that I felt like always were one player away, but now Tickett's saying, I guess, that he thinks the Sixers got to rebuild the whole fucking thing.
Well, but what do you, who do you get rid of? You don't re-sign Harden, right? Like,
Harden's gone. You got to dump Tobias Harris.
Harris is
one of the useless. Overpaid. He's as useful as a poopy flavored lollipop. This guy stinks. He is one of the very, I mean,
you had Jimmy Butler. You had Jimmy Butler.
Oh, I know. Oh. I know.
Imagine Embiid and Butler together. Oh my, Butler has emerged as a fucking star.
Yeah, he's a superstar.
He's not just a star. A guy who shows up bigger than everybody else in the playoffs when it matters the most.
And you know what?
Him for Tobias fucking Harris.
And you know what? I got to bite my tongue too, because in that moment when we had to pick between the two guys, I'm not going to sit here and say, I know, I always knew it was Jimmy Butler. I did in that moment think it was Tobias Harris. So I got to bite my tongue too. I thought that Jimmy Butler is one of the best scorers this league has. But what I thought Toby could do was score, get rebounds, and assists. And the second we re-signed him on that max deal, is the second that his ass started just taking nights off. He does nothing for the team. So I was wrong. And I'll take that. It wasn't even recorded on the show, but I'll admit that I was wrong.
Sports are so brutal, man. I feel so bad for Ticket because this is a bad year for Philly, man.
Think about it. The Phillies make the championship.
But they all fucking lose. It's almost worse.
The Eagles make the Super Bowl.
It's not almost worse. If your teams make it to the championship game, multiple teams, it happened to me one time where Ohio State and the Bears both made it. Ohio State made it to the national championship in 06. Bears made it to the Super Bowl. They both lost at the end of it. I said, I'd rather have not been in this position than have been in this position. Yeah. I really would.
The anticipation, really would. The excitement, the fanfare.
It's like taking
Super Bowl.
The prettiest girl to the prom and getting dumped right before the dance.
Yeah. They get you invested in the stories, the pre-suit.
For the Brilliantly Dumb Show, we go over. Joe tells a joke and he thinks it's an absolute heater, and and that's why it's so fucking funny. But that was a good one.
That was a good one.
It is like that's exactly what it's like.
You're so excited. There's nothing worse than losing. Thankfully, I only watched the Packers once lose in the Super Bowl, but I had to watch my Canucks lose.
But
twice.
You watched them in the NFC title game year after year.
I'm talking about
the 49ers.
When you get all the way to the final, I watched the Canucks twice get to the finals, and they had to win one game in two, and they couldn't do it. And then the city burned. It's an awful feeling. You almost wish they wouldn't even make it. They did. They rioted. They burnt the city down.
And I watched the Nets too. The Nets, that happened to me with the Nets, but.
Fan though, Mikey.
I was big time when they were in Jersey.
You were, so
many games. He's a kiddo.
No, but I'm saying when the Nets went against the problem was the Nets had to play Kobe and Shaq Lakers. They had to play Tim Duncan and David Robinson. David Robinson Spurs.
Did they have Van Jefferson back then?
They had Richard Jefferson. Yeah,
Richard Jefferson. Richard Jefferson. He was a great player.
He was a great 3-point shot.
They had a lot of good role players there. Jason Kidd, Kerry Kittles, Keith Van Horn.
Yep.
Kerry Kittles was fun to watch.
Kittles was a Nova guy. I think he was a Nova guy.
Yes,
Jefferson was the Arizona Wildcat. Kenyon Martin. Kenyon Martin was fucking awesome.
Kenyon
Martin was a vicious dunker and a vicious rebounder.
Boards galore.
Yep. But that's what I'm saying. I watched the Nets make the finals multiple times, but it was kind of like, you knew when they got there, the teams they had to play. It was like, there was no way they were beating Shaq and the Lakers. There was no way they were beating Duncan and Ginobili and Parker and Robinson and the Spurs. Like, that wasn't going to happen. Right. But for Ticket, Ticket's teams were in these fucking games, bro. They were in these fucking games in these series. And it's just, it's brutal, man.
You know, they get blown out at game seven.
Yeah, I know. But the worst thing about all of it, the worst thing, and what people bring up to me, the number one thing I get in my DMs, the number one my father keeps telling me, is that way back when we drafted Markelle Fultz, we passed up Jason Tatum
Oh, God.
We passed up Jason Tatum to draft Markelle Fultz, the guy who was getting injections in his shoulder because he forgot how to shoot the ball for 5 years before we traded him to the Magic, where they gave him a huge deal. And then he broke his ankle almost immediately. I mean, we passed up Jason. We passed up Jason Tatum, who we need to now watch dismantle our team every single year. This guy is one. Is he a top five player, Joey D? Is this guy going to start getting the respect he deserves?
I think he gets this a lot of respect. Does he not?
But no one calls him a top five player.
No, he wasn't a first team All-Star, NBA All-Star.
Correct.
This year.
Here's what I'll say.
He was a second team All-Star, and he should have been.
But correct. I think if people, if you talk about the best teams in the league, inevitably, people are going to mention the Celtics almost immediately. And when you talk about the Celtics, everyone immediately mentions Tatum as the best.
But Mikey V, if you go to work tomorrow, if you go to work tomorrow and you say, you say to your coworker,
he's probably not going to get mentioned.
He's not going to get mentioned.
He's a top 10 player. He's a top 10 player.
Correct. But they're going to say KD.
The other thing that people don't notice as well is Jaylen Brown could go almost to most teams and be a number one on most teams. The guy is so steady, averages almost 27 points a game. So, I mean, when you got a guy who's stroking it like that, it gives a lot of freedom to Tatum to just kind of do what he wants to do. And there's, I think, what was it, game five? He shot terribly. Like, he was horrible. So it's like, you know, they have off nights, but Tatum is asserting himself as one of the clutch players. I think that the Celtics will win this next series in five or six.
I think that they are going to dismantle the Miami Heat. I really do. I think they'll defend them extremely well. I think they match up extremely well, and I think they are going to win it in five games, absolute most six. There's no way that goes the distance. There's no way.
I agree, Mikey V. I think they're going to absolutely destroy him. And basically, they've had a night off since Saturday. I mean, that Sunday game was just – that was basically a night off for these guys. And I do want to move on, and I want to talk about a few other things, but we can't move off this topic before we quickly touch on Monty Williams, the coach of the year for the Suns a couple years ago. He was the pride and joy. I mean, he was revitalizing that organization. And now just a year and a half, almost 2 years later, they canned him. I mean, right decision, wrong decision. What do you think? Joey D?
I don't think the Suns could have done more to try to make a push to win this year. You know, getting Durant to come over, Booker, you want to talk about a top 10 player. That guy is a top 10 player without a doubt. Chris Paul, man, this guy is just, I love him. He's got a lot of tenacity, but he's on his way down. He reached the peak. He's trending down. Yes. And to be honest, I think if you would have got the Chris Paul that you had last year or the last couple of years, they would have been good enough to make, you know, to make a push. The guy is hurt all the time. So, I don't know. I like Monty Williams. I think he's a fun coach to watch. I think he brings good energy to the game. But when you go out and make a splash like that, and you're one of the top teams for the last couple of years, and you can't do it. They got to the NBA Finals last year, or two years ago when they lost to the Bucks. And it's like, you know, at some point, you know, from a GM standpoint, the fans are looking for something, some kind of turnaround. When you don't do it 1, 2, 3 years in a row, you got one of the best teams on paper. I get it. I understand it. It is what it is, man. Somebody's got to be the scapegoat.
Yeah, I think I don't know. Like, listen, the Suns stood toe to toe with the Nuggets. They gave them a series. They won their games at home for the most part. They did fine against the Nuggets, I thought. And, you know, Durant going there, like, I don't know. It's not like football where you could say, like, well, you know, he's got to get into the system and he arrived there late and, you know, you got to give him a full off season before you could. Basketball's a little different. You know, you're expected to just go out there and play. And, you know, there's not too much of an adjustment you got to make. I mean, you've been playing this game, you know, your way for your entire life, and you've been the most dominant player on the court typically. And I just don't think that, whether it's health or whatever, I don't think they got that from KD. And, you know, maybe, but I think next year, I mean, if you look at them, they're going to be a contender again next year, no matter who that coach is, with Booker and KD there. I mean, they're going to be a contender for the West next year. I mean,
well, the West was wide open this year too.
Feels like a scapegoat kind of a thing to
me. Yes, you know, I agree. That's sort of where I'm going with it too. And it sort of begs the question of even your Packers, Joey D. It's will Matt LaFleur survive this rebuilding process?
And he shouldn't.
And is firing the coach the right decision, or is it just because the people are clamoring for someone new? Is it really the coach? Was it really Monty Williams' fault? If you guys have 3 years of being shitty, is it really Matt LaFleur's fault? I mean, Joey D.
My distinction of a good coach is a coach that is able to make adjustments based on the matchups, based on the way that the team is playing. The coaches who excel the most are able to assess why their teams are losing and make the adjustments to help them overcome that. And there are some coaches who are very good on paper and who can go night in and night out in the regular season and win. And then there's guys who are incapable of making big time adjustments. And LaFleur is one of them, because every time we've seen in the playoffs, when the Packers can't score points and when they can't do what they normally do doesn't work, he doesn't get away from his normal system. And some guys just can't do that. And so to me, Monty Williams, yeah, great guy, but
this is my exact beef with Ryan Day at Ohio State. And I think Ryan Day, it's very tough, because criticizing college football coaches is a lot different, because college football, if you're at a blue blood program, you root for a blue blood program where you only lose maybe one or two games a year. It's extremely difficult to be critical of a coach when they win 10 games a year, 9 games a year. But they've lost the biggest game of the regular season 2 years in a row. And that's my biggest issue, what Joe said, is that the good coaches make the adjustments. Ohio State has failed to make the halftime adjustments back-to-back years against Michigan defensively. I understand he's not the defensive coordinator. I understand he's an offensive-minded coach, but it's his job to hire the guy who can make the adjustments, and they haven't done that. Georgia, the same thing. They were dominating that game, and they couldn't make the adjustments to stop Georgia on defense. So, again, I agree with Joe. It's not always – you're going to have bad teams from time to time. The Bears have had bad teams for as long as I can remember. But last year, even though they had the number one pick, even though they only won 3 games, the Bears kept games very respectable, number one, because Justin Fields did some superhuman things. But number two, because the coach, I felt, got the most out of the players, even though they were bad players for the most part. The roster was comprised of bad players. They played tough. They didn't quit. And they didn't make stupid fucking penalties, unlike what was going on with Matt Nagy, who clearly lost that locker room very shortly after the 2018 season when they won the division. The locker room got lost inside of 2 seasons after that. So that's what I think, too. Can the coach squeeze out good performances from bad players in down years? Like, when things are going good, everybody looks good. Andy Reid always looks good. But when things go bad and things are tough, can the coach make things look, you know, presentable? Can they make it look respectable? And that's the hallmark, I think, of a good coach.
But Mikey V, you know as well as I do that there are, you know, Ohio State aside, maybe the Packers aside, maybe all these teams you've been talking about aside, that there are some coaches who take the brunt of the organization's 100%. Failures
100%.
And just because they need a change. And it's not the coach's fault. There's nothing more that they could have done. And so all I was saying was, do you guys think Monty Williams or Matt LaFleur or any of these guys are a product of that kind of new wave of thinking?
Yeah, a little bit. I do agree, because he's a good coach. There's no question about it. Like I said, when you have some of these teams, they just want to win, right? They want to see their team win. After, I think, reasonably after like 3 years span of having a team that's verged for winning and is, you know, could be classified as a championship team, not winning.
I'll give you one of my teams who scapegoated somebody, who fucking scapegoated a coach firing by firing somebody who I don't think deserved to be fired. Joe Girardi. I don't think Joe Girardi deserved to get fired. The guy came off a season. I disagree, Tick. I think that they had a problem. Players, individual players. Players, by the way, who Gary Sanchez, no longer a New York Yankee. Some of these guys are no longer even here. Had a problem with the way Girardi was dealing with them. They couldn't handle that. They wanted a player's coach. Which, obviously, Boone is. Okay, fine, no problem. But I think he got – Girardi won a World Series, okay? And then, yes, 8 years later, they had not won one, but they had just returned to the World Series. They were on the up and coming again. They had these youthful players, and they fucking canned the guy. And yeah. I just think he kind of got scapegoated a little bit, if you want my honest opinion.
I've never seen a guy like Joe Girardi. He is asleep in the dugout. This guy's watching half the game. He is the most tired man in sports.
I tell you, he's in good shape, Joe Girardi. He's jacked
sure.
up.
Sure. Maybe that's why he's always so tired, is because he spends all his energy in the gym.
Could be.
He went right to the Phillies afterwards, and I obviously have a lot of opinions about him. But anyway, I understand what you're saying, Mikey V, and we got to move on. But Joe Girardi sucks. That's the end of that.
He's a World Series winning manager.
Yes, he is. You're right. The New York Yankees are a World Series winning organization.
They were a juggernaut.
It would have taken quite the man to fuck that up.
Yes, I agree with that.
All right, boys. PGA Championship is coming up. Joey D. Yeah. I mean, our whole lives are golf now. I mean, who are you liking? Who are you thinking? Are you excited? Where are we at with this?
Yeah, I mean, it's another major. It's going to be a fun one in New York. Yeah, I think it's Rutherford, Oak Hill.
Oak Hill, yeah.
By the way, Perez's grandpa used to be one of the presidents of this country club. So unbelievable stuff. We'll be with Perez all week this week. So it'll be interesting to kind of get his taste on it and take on what he thinks. But we actually have a... we put out a parlay for DraftKings. So anybody who wants to jump on this, it's a three-team parlay, pays plus 700. It's the Bob Does Sports Parlay on DraftKings, which is Matthew Fitzpatrick to finish top 20, Cameron Young finish top 30, and Keegan Bradley to finish top 40. So that's courtesy of yours truly, FP. So maybe throw a little something on that. But yeah, anytime you come up to a major, it's always interesting. It's always fun to see who's going to step up. You know, you always have the same cast of characters who are, you know, in the spotlight, always putting up good numbers. I like Spieth to do something in this tournament. I think Spieth has been kind of right in the mix for the last several tournaments. I think he makes some headways. I think he could, you know, I think he could sneak in top 10, potentially be a guy who would do some damage. But yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. There's no doubt about it. Plus the betting, the matchups. If you ever want to bet, Mikey V, I know that you're getting into golf now too. The daily matchups, they'll put up like one guy against another. Say you pick a guy you pick Justin Thomas to win the whole thing. He's nowhere to be seen. You could pick a daily matchup and just watch those two guys go head to head, which is a lot of fun. Ticket, you've had some success with that for sure.
Recently, I have. Now, I want to throw two names at you guys before we get Mikey V's opinion. He is the new, this guy's covering the PGA no one I've ever seen. But Joey D, let me throw two names at you. One, Cam Young.
Okay.
Do you like it?
To win it all?
I read a big article in Golf Digest today that says you should fade Cam Young this week.
Wow. Okay.
Now,
okay.
I don't know why that is.
Okay. That's one article, but
I don't know if I agree with it.
I accept it. The other name is Jason Day.
Jason Day is hot as a pistol. It's hot as a pistol right now.
Correct. Could be some good value on that young man.
Great
too.
Value on Jason Day right
plus
now.
Plus 2,800. I mean, listen, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He's the eighth favorite. So, I mean, it's not like you're getting him for plus 4,000, plus 5,000.
Oh, yeah, but he's not chalk either.
Is picking a top 10 guy to win it chalk? I would say it kind
in
of
golf,
is.
I think
no.
There's so many guys in the field.
I think picking top five is probably chalk.
Correct. I think the eighth guy is no longer. Okay, so Mikey B, what are your thoughts? Fair. Who do you like?
I tell you what, Tony Finau, one of our guys. I mean, Tony Finau is interesting, and listen, this is the ultimate chalk thing to say, but is it preposterous to think Scottie Scheffler is going to win the PGA Championship?
Every tournament.
Well, now that's chalk.
Yeah, that's chalk, but yeah. I mean, he looks just as good. Tremendous. Yeah. And then I got another one for you. Now, this one is a little off the beaten path. This is not chalk. Sungjae Im.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Sung-jae-in. I like that play.
I love me some Sungjae.
Plus 3,500.
I love me some Sungjae.
I love that. Yeah. Sundae okay. Kim.
I will say, Ticket, I really like the Jason Day play because he's a guy who used to be number one in the world. He knows how to win when it counts, and he just came off a tournament where he won. He was in it in the Masters up until the last day. He was making some headwaves. He's playing good golf right now. His back issues seem behind him. I don't mind that play a lot. Now, Cameron Young, always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Correct. This guy has been in multiple tournaments right up until the last day and has just fallen out of grace. He's got all the tools. He's got a massive drive. He's got the iron game.
You need a big
I don't like – I would maybe put him top 15, but I don't know if I would take him to win it all.
Boys. Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. Jason Day has really been the guy who's been on the top of my brain for the last – yeah, and I just want to mention to all the listeners out there too, all four of them. I want to mention that I do sprinkle a little bit on all the guy, like, you know, your Jason, your John Rahms, your Scotty Schefflers, Chalk is a good bet. Chalk is still a good bet. Throw 10, 15 bucks on it. Why not? Max Homa.
Tell you who's going to be a pest again this weekend, by the way, because it's just his MO is Koepka. Koepka will be, he'll be involved this weekend. He will be. You could be upset with it all you want.
I thought he wasn't allowed to play in this one.
No, he's playing. Koepka's playing.
I thought since it was a PGA thing.
He's up there, Joe. He's up there. He's at plus 2,000. I mean, he's the sixth favorite on the board.
Do not touch this man.
I'm not going to bet him because I already bet him on the Masters. I can't go through that again because it should have won. He should have won the fucking Masters. John Rahm, I mean, again, tip of the cap. But I don't think that – here's something I will say. You will not – I don't think you won't see this weekend top Masters weekend in terms of two titans of
– oh, one, no.
It's but never going to be as
good. I'll give another guy from the LIV. If I were to take anybody from LIV, I'd Dustin go Johnson. Cam Smith.
Cam Smith. Yes.
Dustin Johnson's a little hot right now, too, though.
Cam Smith is plus 3,300 to win. And he's a guy who won the British.
I like that. I'll probably sprinkle a little bit on that. But the thing with Brooks Koepka, man, until he proves me wrong, this guy is – this is a great Aaron Rodgers analogy. This guy loves
no,
to.
No, he's guy, won. This How guy, many majors has he won?
This guy. Yeah, come on. Okay, I'm saying in the last 10, 8 years.
He's been hurt.
Oh, Mikey, he's not. You're going to blame all his problems on being injured. Yeah, you absolutely. Think him collapsing
his
at the
wife,
Masters.
His wife seems very distracting. She seems very distracting.
She's pregnant now, too.
That's a distraction.
Exactly. This guy falls. He's mental game. He has absolutely
four majors,
imploded.
And he won two or three of them within a year and a half.
And what's he done in the last 6 years, Joseph?
Yeah, he should have won the fucking Masters
nothing.
Last month.
He's done yeah,
nothing.
He was winning
he
the,
won
Masters.
The fucking Masters.
He came
he
second,
won
tied for
if
second
that fucking,
in the
if that rain delay doesn't happen, Koepka wins the
No,
fucking.
No, okay. no, okay. no way.
Okay,
that fine. Guy is a
I
mental
will say this.
Disaster.
Koepka did get all the breaks in the Masters he when he was he playing did. With the better weather yes. in the morning. Everybody's playing the worst weather, so like he caught some breaks.
The
but
morning,
he's an unbelievable
– fine. Finishing round
ticket,
three,
he's not a good
finishing
golfer,
round
ridiculous.
Three, he looked fine.
Well, I'm not
was
saying he's not a great golfer. I'm just saying Tiger Woods is not who he was.
He said,
20
what has
years
he done
ago.
Lately? He came second in the Masters.
Yeah, and he imploded. He imploded.
He won the LIV tournament
the weekend before that.
No, Mikey he won two. Two
Mikey
out
B.
of three.
Two.
Mikey, he choked. Yeah. Did he not choke?
It was a choke job.
It was a choke
well,
job.
Well, John Rahm.
That's
also,
my
I
point.
Mean, let's give
what
John
I mean,
Rahm
listen,
a little bit of credit.
I can't sit here and say that somebody who plays second in the fucking Masters is,
yeah,
is a choke artist. I can't.
No, I'm just going to say don't bet on him
he
to win. That's
oh,
all
I'm not,
saying.
I'm not. I didn't say that. I said.
I wouldn't mind.
I said because I knew it would. I knew it would spark this conversation. I knew it would spark this.
Yes.
He's a guy who I know everyone finds annoying. I personally, I like the guy. but
I just think he loves these guys.
He's pesky, and I think he hangs around this weekend. Now, if that being said, if the boys could get a party bet on Sungjae Im, I would really be happy.
Oh, I would love that.
I would like if all the boys put in a nice couple shekels.
And you know who else is going to love that? Thing, you know who else is going to love that?
The Jet?
No. I mean,
the Jet?
Yes,
Jet would love it.
Bob?
Bob's going to love it. Bob is going to love throwing some money.
Would you put anything on Phil Mickelson at +15,000?
Sure, $10. Why not?
Yeah, $10. Yeah, that's fair.
Well, that would be $150.
No, $1,500.
Yeah, $1,500.
That's worth $10 to me.
I would throw. Listen, now he's talking. Let's put $50 on it.
Mikey, and that nice my bonus. Friends, is 1-800-GAMBLER. We're going to put it down here on the bottom.
$50 to pay $7,500.
Wow. Yo, we're going in. 25 a pop. Let's go.
I'll go in on it.
Phil's
not even gonna make the cut.
No, he'll not make the cut. But you'll be down $25. It's like a meal, whatever. But I would say this is why golf betting is the funnest.
Yes.
Because there's so many guys who can come out of nowhere, and then you have your guys who are always gonna be in it. But there's always this one rogue guy who comes out of nowhere. Yeah. And even you could place Phil to place top 20 probably pays really good. So, like, it just makes it interesting and fun. Even if you don't have to throw a ton of money on it, you could just sprinkle it and have a good day, sit down, and enjoy.
Yeah, I agree. All right.
And if you lose, you lose.
Before we leave this topic, let's just round it all out by saying each guy, let's just give our top three guys, possible winners. Who are the three guys that you like? And it can be chalk, doesn't matter. Who do you think the people should be betting on this week? Joey D, we'll start with you.
All right, I'll go one chalk. I'll go Scheffler.
Okay.
I'll go Spieth. And I'll go with, fuck it, give me Sungjae Im.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm on the Mikey V board. Why not?
Mikey V?
Im, Scheffler, and Tony Finau.
Love that. I love that you're on the Tony Finau train. I love it. That would be his first major.
I think this sets up well for him this weekend. I do.
Beautiful.
Unlimited power from Mr. Finau.
I'm, of course, going to go with Kim. I mean, he just can't miss.
Yes.
I'll go Jason Day, and I'm going to stick with Cam Smith. I'm going to stick with Cam Smith. Cam Young.
No one took Rahm.
No.
No,
Rom's going to win it all.
Probably.
Nobody wants to be the guy to say, I'll take the major chalk.
Oh, but you're the guy.
I mean, Scheffler's the major chalk. Scheffler's one and Rahm is two. Scheffler +700 on DraftKings, Rahm +750. Rory next closest. Nobody, I tell you, that's a guy nobody even wants to mention.
No one wants to touch Rory at all.
Another choke artist. Yes. All right, boys, that was good. That was entertaining. PGA Championship. I think we're all excited for it. It's coming up here. We're 2 days away from that thing. We're going to be in Richmond, Virginia, watching that thing in Fat Prez's native homeland. But let's move on to a story that, you know, the story is the Athletics. The Oakland A's are moving to Vegas. But what I'm more interested in is not necessarily that headline, but it's more what's happening in Vegas. I mean, F1 is taking their show on the road there. They're racing right down the strip. It's going to be one of the most exciting events in America this whole year, I truly believe. I mean, we got the Raiders just moved there. Basketball team's on its way. And now the Golden Knights are on a run again
for potentially making the Stanley Cup Finals again.
What's happening in Vegas right now? Mikey V, I mean,
what's happening in Vegas.
It's a fun place to be.
This is the metamorphosis. Vegas is a place that keeps evolving, right? Vegas is a place where evolution continues to happen. Back in the early 60s, right? In the late 50s, early 60s, Las Vegas was the one place in the United States where you could go and legally gamble. One of the very few places. So this was a mafia union run city in the desert. And the only people that went out there were men looking to gamble, probably cheat on their wives and do other things. That's the reason they went out to Las Vegas. That lasted for X amount of years until it became this mega conglomerate all skyscraping resorts and casinos with roller coasters when they built New York, New York, and they built the Luxor. Watch the movie Casino. If you ever watch the Martin Scorsese movie Casino, the very end of that movie, when De Niro does his monologue, that is a very true account
of Mirage, how Las Vegas, all those places.
How Las Vegas evolved from just being a place that was like exclusively for gangsters and then men who wanted to come out there to gamble and do what they wanted to do. And it became this entertainment capital for families where you could vacation and daddy could still blow the college fund, right, for junior. But at the same time, you could be at the pool with the family. You go on a roller coaster. You go see fucking the guys with the tiger, Siegfried and Roy. You go see the pirates at that. You go see the fountains at Bellagio. Now it's becoming what else? Sports are beginning to blossom. Why would you ever have a blossoming city like this and not have several sports organizations? You're going to have football. You have football already. You got hockey. You're going to get baseball. And
basketball will go there too.
Yeah,
of course. And F1 is going to be there. This is just another step in the evolution of Las Vegas, a city that continues to try and reinvent themselves. Because let's be fucking honest, there's no other reason to go out in the middle of the fucking desert unless it's an appealing place to go. Nobody wants to live in
correct.
Nobody that's fucking of sane mind and body wants to live in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
But now they're trying to really make this is a destination not only to just visit, but potentially to start your family and upper. Now, that being said, I would never do that, but I understand what they're doing, why they're doing it, and that's the continued evolution of Las Vegas, I think.
I sure hope they make an indoor stadium for that baseball field because...
Oh, my God. They'll fry. I mean, that's... It's a dry heat.
I'm sure. It's not the heat that's going to kill you. It's the humidity.
The humidity always kills you.
It is a dry heat. Very good for the joints, but still.
Have either of you guys... I know Joey D has, and I know his answer, but Mikey V, have you ever spent more than 3 days in Vegas?
Yeah, I spent four or five, absolute max was five. I think we did 4 nights, 5 days. Because, I mean, listen, for me to go to Vegas, that's a five-hour flight. I mean, that's a long trip. For Joe to go, I mean, Joey, you can't drive there.
I can.
I mean, you can.
Four and a half hours.
That's what it takes me to fly.
That's what it takes me to fly there. So four and a half hours,
and I think to fly with GSX, 45 minutes.
It's 45
minutes. Yeah, I mean, that's nothing. So, I mean, like a drive comparison to me would be, and Ticket probably knows this place well because he's a Philly guy. The drive equivalent for me to Vegas here in Jersey would be Ocean City, Maryland. That would be like the equivalent of the drive. I don't know, Ticket, if you've ever been there, but that's about a four hour, reverse going north. That's a trip, a road trip to Boston.
I drove once, middle of the night. I think I drove up at like 10 o'clock at night. I got there in like 3 hours. There's no one on the road.
Yeah,
just flying down that freeway.
Well, my point is that it. I don't know about you boys. I'll put it to myself. You should not spend more than 3 nights there.
No, it's dangerous.
Vegas after three nights is tough.
Let me tell you something. I got to be honest. The only time I'd want to go back to Vegas now is if I won a very small lottery of some sort, because it's very uncomfortable walking into that casino and knowing no matter how much money that you make, you are a very small fish in a large pond, because you have guys there wagering tens of thousands of dollars on a hand of blackjack, on a hand of baccarat, they are playing for tens. There's high rollers. Like, you're not even, no matter how well off you think you are, you're nothing compared to some of these whales that are gambling in those casinos. And that to me is very like unnerving when I walk into a place.
Well,
like,
and the other thing too, I will say, I've been to Vegas multiple times and it is disintegrated from where it used to be. Well, the first couple of times when I first went to Vegas, it was like pristine. It was not classy, but you got that vibe of what like Sinatra and those guys would go there. It's cool. It's everything shining, glimmery. Now, after the pandemic, it's fucking run down. The streets are dirty. There's bums everywhere. Oh. It's not nice. A lot of even the old shittier hotels, we used to go to the shittier casinos. You used to be able to play $5, $10 games. It's all $25, $50 minimums now because they're trying to get people to spend more. And it's like, it doesn't have the same facade and allure that it used to have. That being said, I still love the place, but
you love Vegas.
Joe loves Vegas. The Golden Knights. I've been to multiple Golden Knights games. Well, the Yankees are really blowing it here, man. It's just tough to watch, man. It's tough to watch. But yeah, the Golden Knights is a fun experience to go to the games. They do a whole pre-game Cirque du Soleil thing. And they've had a lot of success with it. So I don't, I think the only thing they used to have in Vegas was the D-League used to have like their NBA, like their preseason things there. And people would go there. But now it's like, you're kind of missing an opportunity to make money by having a team there because people are going to go.
Well, ever since gambling's become more accepted throughout the country, that's when sports teams started coming in. Mikey V, you'll get a kick out of this. I actually drove to Vegas one time with Joey D. The whole thing was quite a story, but I'll just mention this. We hopped in his, your 06 Celica or something like that?
No, it was a Mitsubishi Eclipse.
There you go. Who's
That's so on brand.
It's a Mitsubishi Eclipse. And we get in there. And
was it white?
No.
It was silver.
Yeah, it was silver. Okay. Anyway, so we're driving. We're probably 45 minutes into the drive, and we're just talking, and we sort of run out of conversation after 45 minutes. And he's like, you want to listen to some tunes? And he flips open his glove compartment, and he's got, of course, like we all used to have, this just big book of CDs. And he goes, look for Joe's 03 jams.
Summer jams.
Summer jams.
There were some bangers on that thing. Oh, of course. You know what the first song was, Mikey V?
What?
T.I., you could have whatever you like. Oh. That thing starts banging. Ticket was loving it. Rihanna Umbrella.
One of my dearest friends from middle school and high school, that was one of his anthems. T.I., you could have.
You could have.
Sing it, and he was oh my God, man, just too funny.
And this is 2015, so it was a while gone. But
Joey's 03 summer. I wish you still had that CD.
Ticket was pissed that I got rid of it.
I was so pissed he got rid of it.
Yeah, because I would try and at least just find the mix and then put it on Spotify. I think people would be crazy for that.
Was it not a great playlist, Tick?
It was fantastic. Joe, you would kill on Spotify, by the way. You can get followers on Spotify. You can create playlists and have people follow you.
Yeah, I have one on there. People fucking went nuts.
Of course, Mikey.
I put it out on Twitter. I said my top 25 songs of all time, and people were going fucking nuts. Big Cat actually put me on it because I did not know about Spotify. And when I tweeted it one night, I think I was fucked up. I was like, these are the best 25 songs of all time. And he tweeted me back and he's like, you need to put this on Spotify so people could fucking listen to it. And I did it, but I accidentally did not lock down. There's a setting that you have to put on so people can't add to your own list.
Right.
People were putting up songs like songs that I would get canceled for if the songs ever came out. And I'm like, yo, you guys, what the fuck are you doing? These insane songs about killing people and these death metal songs about all this crazy
shit.
What
was your number one song?
Yeah, rattle me off your top three.
I did not rank them, but I mean, these are just some of them. My favorite songs ever. That's the name of the playlist. My favorite songs ever, in parentheses, do not contribute. I got Talking Heads, Once in a Lifetime, which is one of my favorite songs of all time.
That's a great song.
What else do great I have song. In here? Layla by Derek and the Dominoes, one of my favorites of all time. Don't Take Away the Music, Tavares, one of my favorite. Hey 19, Steely Dan, Touch of Grey, Grateful Dead.
Wow.
China Grove by the Doobie Brothers, Street Player by Chicago, Sherry by Steve Perry, Do You Feel Like We Do, Peter Frampton. I mean, I'm all over the map, man. I like everything pretty much, but
That's a respectable list right there. I mean, I'm a music man.
Check
myself.
It out on Spotify.
You know a ton about music.
Yeah, I'm a big
music
guy.
You and Perez know
sure.
a ton about
music.
Oh,
you want to talk about Talking Heads? Perez is the biggest Talking Heads guy.
Yeah, I'm a big Talking. I love Talking Heads.
Yeah, yeah. David Byrne, man.
Yankees,
David
man.
Byrne's
what
the best.
The...
All right, boys, let's get into one more thing before we get into the questions, and then we'll get out of here. Let's just briefly touch on Pat McAfee and what's going on with ESPN. He's opting. He had a 4-year deal with FanDuel. It was some remarkable thing, like $120 million for 4 years. He's opting out somewhere in the middle of his second year, and he's moving to ESPN, and he's bringing his whole team with him. Now he can't curse. He's not going to be the Pat McAfee we've come to know and love on YouTube. Do we like it? Do we love it? Do we think he's selling out? Joey D, let's start with you here. What do you
think? What's his deal for ESPN? Have they disclosed it?
No, they haven't disclosed it.
You know, don't change a good thing, man. You got $120 million to do what you do, and you do it very well. Why change? I don't get it. The guy's got everything he could ever want. Not to mention he's showing up on the College Game Day football all the time, on the pregames, on the panel. Why change? I don't know. I'm not a huge advocate for changing something. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know? So $120 million, Mikey V, I'd be okay with that. I'd split that gladly with you three, with you two, and bring Bob and Perez in. Give me a quarter of that. I mean, that's unbelievable money. Yeah. What else do you need when you're making $120 million?
How much do you need?
To cover sports. We do this for free, folks.
Yeah, I mean, listen, number one, good for Pat McAfee. I'm not going to sit here and be like, you're a sellout. I'm not saying that. No, I'm not going to say that. Good for him. But number two, money talks, bullshit walks. There's no question about that. Money talks, bullshit walks. And then number three, I'm just curious as to how ESPN is going to do something like this and give him this much money coming off the heels of, like, what did they lay off? Like, Disney laid off and ESPN laid off like 7,000 people.
17,000.
And now you're throwing a fucking bag that could choke a fucking elephant to Pat McAfee. I mean, when Pat McAfee is doing just fine with FanDuel and his own thing, like, to me, like, Disney, like, that just, or ESPN, that just leaves like a really awkward taste in my mouth, especially if I'm one of those employees who probably does a shitty job somewhere for them and gets laid off, and now they see this. I think it's a little, you know, off-putting, but like I said, the biggest point is money talks and bullshit walks. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, what it tells me is that if I know that his deal is $120 million for 4 years with FanDuel, it means that ESPN threw the bag at him. It means he's making more than that. Anyone who doesn't think that is just, they're not paying attention. But what this reminds me of, and it might date myself, I guess I'm younger than both you guys, but you'll remember this. It reminds me slightly of when Dennis Miller was brought to Monday Night Football.
Oh, God.
And I say that because Dennis Miller is a hilarious comedian. I like him, but he
stunk.
Yeah, but he's very off the cuff. He curses a lot. His comedy is built around irreverent things. And when you bring him onto a Disney-run show, you're changing who he is.
I was thinking the same thing also. I think Pat McAfee is
going to have to change who he is to fit into the Disney model. And I don't know why Disney and ESPN and all these family-run companies continue to try to get quote unquote cool people who are irreverent and try to make them their thing. You're just going to ruin it. And you're going to pay him way too much money.
It's a good analogy.
Yeah, I agree. I was wondering the same thing. I'm like, you know, Pat's kind of like a little hardcore for fucking ESPN.
Howard Stern of sports.
Yeah, he's very good. Yes. He's very good. You know, it's when you have a springboard platform like that, you go right out of the NFL, and it's just, it's fortunate because he could get hooked up with the right people to bring on at the right time. And, things worked out well, and he's extremely entertaining. There's no question about it. He's funny as shit. I agree. I think he's kind of going to have to tone it down a little. I don't know if people are going to like that as much, but, you know, again, I'm sure ESPN and him had a talk about it. And you know what? Pat McAfee probably really doesn't give a shit about changing himself if it's for $150 or $200 million. So.
But if they give him a show, like now a point that for a guy that has made it work is Paul Bissonnette, the guy from Spit and Chicklets. They put him on the hockey halftime show, and he is still just as funny, as fantastic as he is. So if they give him a show more like NBA on TNT, like with Charles Barkley, like if they I get agree. To be a little bit more irreverent,
they have to. They have to.
That's the kind of show he's going to thrive.
But what half time show or show on football like that exists already? Are you putting him on?
He's got to be on NBA countdown. NFL countdown. Like,
that one of the greatest NFL shows of all time was NFL Primetime with Chris Berman and David Jackson, right? David Jackson?
No, not Dave.
Jackson. His last name was Jackson. 100%.
Yes.
But the big guy, the big
tight end,
big
right?
Dude from Denver.
Big played burly
for,
guy.
He played for Denver. I can't believe
Tony.
I don't know.
Yes. But anyway, yes, I know who you're talking about.
That show was this was in the era when you didn't have Red Zone. Yeah. So, I mean, Primetime was like the show that you had to watch in order to see the games that you saw no place.
Tom. All the highlights, yeah.
Tom Jackson.
That was the show you had to watch to see bits and pieces of the games that were out of market. Because you couldn't, unless you had the satellite dish and there was no Red Zone, that's it. I would love to see him do some sort of a rundown show. That would be very entertaining, I think. And he would be perfect for that because Berman was very much of a, eclectic kind of a personality, wacky personality doing that. And that was a tough job. And I think that's something that McAfee that would be a good spot for him. Something like that, I think. Like a NFL Primetime, just a recap of all the day games before the Sunday night football game.
I agree. What you can't do with him is put him on these Monday to Friday shows with Greenberg, and he's sitting there right next to him like Dan Orlovsky. That's what you can't do with a guy like with Pat. But we'll see. I mean, listen, one thing's for sure. This guy's making the bag. He's earned it. He's funny as hell. And hopefully this won't be like other acquisitions in the past that Disney's forcing
Lakers down
people.
15 first quarter already.
The Nuggies.
Hey, Joe, you called that, by the way.
Well, the game's not done. It's not over.
No,
over
but it's starting to look good. Yes.
I just think I do think the Nuggets going to come out and lay a waxing on them first game. I think Lakers could steal second. I mean, they, this is only first quarter, but Nuggets coming out hot, real hot.
Yeah, they are. All right, boys, let's get into the viewer questions and then let's get out of here. First question comes from Kyle. Question for Bear Down. What type of parent? What type of parent are you at your kids' sporting events? Are you allowed parent?
That's a great question.
It is a good question.
Yeah, I mean, Dom is the only one who plays right now because he's older, so he plays soccer on Saturdays. I'm not loud. This is not organized sports yet. He's just learning, and he goes to karate also, so that's a sport.
But will you be loud when he starts getting more competitive?
I couldn't tell you. Probably, but not in a manner in which I'm yelling at the other kids, in a manner in which I'm holding him accountable. I believe parents should be, if you're yelling at your kid's game, you better be yelling at your own kid. You should not be yelling at certainly shouldn't be yelling at the opposing team because you're
or the refs.
I mean, now listen, I've seen some egregious calls over the years that I was involved in high school, and I know my father wanted to kill some of these officials. I know he did. But I mean these parents that they get like over the top, like I am over the top in many things, but I do not feel like that is one of those areas because the only thing I'm concerned about is my son developing? Is he having a good time? Is he truly enjoying it? Is he getting the most out of it? That is the most important thing at this age. Is he getting the most out of it that's going to help him develop into a more structured, disciplined, integrated and involved kid with other kids and with whatever he chooses to do as he gets older? So as crazy as I am and as much as Bob and Joe like to play up that I'm a sick fuck, when it comes to my kid, I am very level-headed when it comes to my children. I am. I do fly off the hinges from time to time with certain things. There's no question about it. And I won't deny that. But when it comes to the kids, I try to remain even-keeled as much as I can. And it is difficult at times.
I'll say this. I don't have kids, but I'm very close with my niece. And you know what kills me, Bear Down, is she plays soccer too. And I used to go to all, when I was living in Charleston, I used to go to all her soccer games. And You know what killed me is you're right. You can't yell at the other kids. They're not at a point where you can start saying, hey, you should have passed it there or whatever.
Yeah, no.
But when I see the kids sitting on the bench, not paying attention to what their team's doing, when they're getting warm, when they're eating.
Well, what age are we talking
about? They're eight. And when they're eating clementines, no, you're right. I'm not picking apart your play. I'm not picking apart anything. But when you root for your team the whole time. This is a team, and that's what it teaches you. It's discipline about your team.
But these kids have the attention span of goldfish, though.
Of Bob.
Their attention spans are so bad. And Bob is a manifestation of that in an adult body.
Oh, really, I know.
But I mean, it's just their attention spans. Like my son goes from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next.
Correct.
Like it's so, and that is frustrating because I want him so badly to concentrate on something that, but you know what it is? It's the parents having to get over the psychological hump of, it's so much more important to you in your brain than it is through this little person's brain, because in this little person's brain, they're not prioritizing the same things that you are. They're just not.
They're prioritizing their day off from school.
If they see a fucking ant crawling on a blade of grass by their sneaker, that becomes the most important thing to them at the time. They're fascinated by that because they haven't seen ants for 30, 40 fucking years. They've only seen them for 5 years. They think it might as well be a dinosaur. And that's why they pretend the ant is a dinosaur. This is all child psychology 101 here. So I would think it's just, but 8 years old is still so young. Now, in high school, I totally agree.
Oh,
when you get to high school sports, there has to be, because now you're being on a competitive team. You're competing for county championships, state championships. You know, things become, you know, there's award and incentives for players. When you reach that level,
a lot of times organized sports at that time, when you get older, costs money for the parents too. So if you're investing time and money, it's not a once a week thing. It's time, money.
Tickets getting mad at little girls eating citrus fruit on the bench.
To me, it's not that I think you're going to grow up and be the next Megan Rapinoe. I don't think you're going
to
be the next Megan Rapinoe, but as a child is supposed to teach you discipline. And things about how to lose properly, how to be a team player, it's the lessons that you learn in these teams. And when I just see them not paying attention, that's what gets under my skin. Of course, if you don't score or if you're the worst player on the field, I don't care, but I do want you to pay attention and I do want you to be involved with your team. Don't look at me like that, Mikey V.
Don't do it. Bottom line is, don't let Tick be the coach of your kids.
Now, that being said, one of my dad's favorite stories is when I was playing baseball. Baseball is a huge part of my life. I played, you know, the whole time I was a kid and through high school and in college. When I was playing T-ball, I was out there picking dandelions. You know, I was out there picking dandelions in the outfield. And at one point someone said, Neil. And I just threw my glove up and the ball fell on my glove. You know, so I'm a guy too, who used to be out there picking dandelions, but yeah, that's not the point. And I shouldn't have been doing that either. Anyway, thanks for the question, Kyle. Moving on, we got Dan. What are your guys' earliest sports memories? Joey D, will go to you first.
Oh, man, I played hockey since I was a little kid. I think my first ever memory was it was a hockey game or practice. I was very young. My dad parked the wrong area for the stadium, like four blocks away, because he didn't know where the parking was. So he carried me on like a piggyback with the bag over his shoulder, like four blocks to get to the fucking stadium. And it was like, you know, that was my first ever game, or I think it was practice that I ever went to. So that probably is up there. I think there's a lot of, early memories I had of me going on tournaments and going to different hockey tournaments and stuff that was really fun. And, you know, I don't know if that merits a good answer. What about you, Tick?
My earliest memories, I mean, I feel like you went down the route of you playing sports. My earliest memories were just like my dad taking me to Flyers games.
Oh, to go to a game. I went to the 94 Stanley Cup Finals game five.
Right. This is a great story. That's a great story.
And they won. And I remember I used to watch the when the Canucks were in the playoffs, I used to collect like hockey cards. You know, what I would do is, you know, those clear like foil sheets that you could put them in. They'd have like 3x5 and you could put all the cards in.
Yep.
I'd assemble one for the Canucks and one for the other opposing team that they would play. And I'd put those cards right in front of the TV, like as they're matching up against each other. And I got really into the 94 Stanley Cup Finals. The Canucks were like the 8th seed and they went all the way to the finals and they lost. Mm. I was devastated, you know, the beginning of heartbreak from that fucking team ever since. But yeah, I was into it. As a kid, I loved it. And I went to game 5. They won the game. It was in Vancouver at the Pacific Coliseum. It was unbelievable.
Oh, man. Yeah, my, super cool. My earliest memories were, because when I was a kid, going to a football game was expensive. So, like, typically what my dad would take me to were baseball games and hockey games. Those were the ones that were more affordable. And the Sixers were really good when I was a kid, so they were a little more expensive. But we went to the occasional one for that, too. I just remember Allen Iverson. I remember Lindros. I remember...
Wow.
Yeah.
Rob Brindamore.
I just remember these guys, like just being sort of part of the fabric of my childhood as a sports fan. But one of the funniest things was when I was 7, I went to my very first Eagles game. I was taken as a favor by my mom. One of her friends took me, and I didn't even know what football was at the moment. I was like 6 or something. I was playing with my ticket, and I lost my ticket before I even got in there. I didn't even get in there. And this woman had season tickets, and she was just like, what the fuck am I doing? This is a primetime game. And that was the same year that the Seahawks had Sean Alexander. It was Matt Hasselbeck.
Wow.
And it was Monday Night Football, and the Seahawks beat the Eagles 45-7. And it was dismantle job. And I think they went to the Super Bowl that year and lost. It was like 2006, 2005.
The Seahawks?
Yeah, the Seahawks.
With Sean Alexander. 2007, they lost to the Steelers.
That's right. And that was that year. They dismantled us. And so that's me, you know, just sort of those names as a kid in the city, Lindros, Iverson, you know, and Kobe was not far removed too, as going to high school there. So in Lower Marion, but Mikey V.
Yeah, I guess playing sports would be baseball was my earliest memory, because I played baseball before anything else, because, you know, baseball was just so much more of an accessible sport than Pop Warner football was, like when you're real young, T-ball and shit like that. So I remember my first baseball game, not T-ball, but baseball, once we graduated to regular travel baseball, I was playing catcher. And I remember catching, and I went with my grandfather, took me to this one particular game. And it was the first time they ever played me a catcher. And he made the coach change my number on my T-shirt to number 5, because his favorite baseball player of all time is Joe DiMaggio for the Yankees. And he made my coach, literally, he's like, you're going to wear number 5. That's it. Now, obviously, Joe D was not a catcher, but my grandfather didn't give a shit. He just wanted me to wear number 5. Not only did I wear number 5, but I caught a runner out at home plate in my first game and held onto the ball and tagged him out. And my grandfather went, I'll never forget it. He went crazy. And that was that's definitely like a core memory for me in terms of sports. Football, we had some great, high school football was incredible. We had some incredible comeback wins, overtime wins, crazy last play, 2-point conversion. My senior year homecoming, we beat a team on a 2-point conversion with no time left. It was incredible game, incredible experience. And then going to games, I guess one of the best experiences I had was the last time the Bears went to the Super Bowl in 2006, they played the Giants at the old Giants Stadium. I went to that game and Devin Hester returned a missed field goal. He returned a missed field goal, 103 yards. And I was sitting in the end zone that he was running into. And I remember just waving him in like this, waving him in like this. And it was fucking awesome. And obviously that was a magical year for them until obviously they lost in the fucking Super Bowl, like we spoke about before. But those are some of the earliest memories for me.
Nice. Mikey, have you seen that new Yogi Berra documentary?
A new one? I have not.
It just came out. It's spectacular. I recommend it.
I don't think people don't realize the credentials, the resume that Yogi Berra has. I don't think people
correct.
I don't think people realize it. I think he has How many World Series rings does he have? 11? I think he has 11.
Holy, that many.
I think he has like 11 World Series rings. I think he has 13 All-Star game appearances.
And he's got one of the most famous moments in sports where was he out or was he not out?
Yeah, I it's just
Was that with Ted? Ted was stealing home and was he out or was he not out? And that begs the question too, that the another topic I wanted to bring up tonight was Air, the movie Air about Michael
Amazing
Jordan.
Amazing movie.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about it now or do we want to wait till next week for
let's
that?
Let's wait next time. Let's next week and wrap week. It up. We had a longer episode this week.
Yeah. Let's do the last question. We'll keep it quick. It's from Kay. Thank you, Dan, for the last question. And Cade, what is the biggest what if moment in sports? Could be a player, bad call, anything that would have altered sports histories. Mine is the Tuck rule because I'm a Rams fan.
I was going to say the Tuck rule.
That's Cade. Yeah. Cade saying the Tuck rule.
Oh. So the question is,
what's your biggest what if? Yeah, like what if that didn't happen? What if Brett Favre didn't get hurt? What if
that Ohio State Buckeyes kicker makes that field?
They win the national championship. I mean,
that's one hell of a New Year's then.
Ohio State wins the national championship.
Oh, geez, man, that's a tough one. They win. I'm sorry, I don't want to rub salt into an open wound, but that's a good one.
Well, no, that's fine.
I would say,
what if Cody Parkey doesn't double doink the kick against?
Yeah,
the
there's a lot of
fuck Cody Parkey, man.
The NFC was so weak that year. The Rams were, remember that Super Bowl against the Patriots was horrible. You never know what could have happened if Parkey makes that kick. Mine would be, what if Roberto Baggio doesn't fucking balloon the ball over the crossbar
against Brazil
in penalties against Brazil in 94. Wow. That's one of my biggest ones.
Wow.
Because that would put Italy at 5 cups and drop Brazil down to 4, and Italy would have the most World Cups in the entire history of the World Cup.
Yes, they would.
But
would be pretty special. That's a good one, Mikey V.
Thank you, buddy.
I'll go with what if and it kills me to say it because I don't love the Red Sox, but I like the Red Sox and I hate the Yankees. But what if in 04, what if David Ortiz did not hit that home run? What if they should have been done in four games to nothing? And would the Red Sox have gone on that roll to win 2-3 World Series after that? What would have happened after that? What would they just be deflated and they would have won nothing and they still would have been in the drought?
I'll give you a big what if for me. What if the Green Bay fucking Packers don't fumble an onside kick against the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship to end the game? They go to the Super Bowl.
That was wild.
And they could fucking win the whole thing. Yeah. That there's been very few times.
Was that when Seattle smoked Denver that year? Was that that year?
No, Seattle. Yeah. Seattle lost to the Patriots on
that
the last
was that year.
Is the
that
interception? Was that year? Yes. Okay. In the end zone.
Yeah. I know.
And that
Malcolm Butler. Yeah.
And we beat the Patriots that year earlier in the season in Green Bay.
Yeah, I thought they killed Denver that year.
Nothing though, Joe. I thought that was the Denver year.
No. I thought it was the Denver year.
No, because the Seahawks were my number one most hated team. And then they went into the Super Bowl, and they looked like they were going to win, and they didn't win. And by the way, there's another one. What if they run Marshawn Lynch on the one-yard line?
That's a big what if right there.
He scores a touchdown.
And they're the Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, that was
That's
bad.
A big one right there, that man. That's probably one of the biggest.
I'll tell you one.
You could what if injuries to death. You could, if Bo Jackson never got hurt? What if this one never got hurt? You know, you could do that.
I'll tell you one personally, beyond the Red Sox is what if Michael Vick, when he was having that MVP year for the Eagles, when we were the best.
Oh, you were. League.
There was no one better than us. He got hurt week 8 or 9 or 10, whatever it was. And he we had to go with Jeff Garcia. I think that who it was.
Jeff Garcia.
And we were just a different team. What if Michael Vick stayed healthy that whole his comeback year? He was incredible.
Yeah, he was.
Do yourself a favor and go and watch Michael Vick highlights.
I remember Michael Vick like it was yesterday at Virginia Tech.
That's right.
Let alone when he was with Atlanta and Philly. I mean, Virginia Tech against the Florida State Seminoles with Chris Winkie at the helm in the national title game.
That's right.
Now Florida State won that game, but I mean, Florida State was such a better overall team. They were loaded, right. Florida State. But Mike Vick single-handedly got a very mediocre Virginia Tech team to the national title game because of how incredible he was as a college athlete. And I remember that Sports Illustrated cover with him with the fucking purple lightning bolts.
If you watch his, it is one of the most impressive highlight tapes I've ever.
Yeah,
Fat Perez and I, a couple trips ago, stayed up to like 2 a.m. just watching Michael Vick.
Now that does not surprise me.
Yeah, he just loves watching.
I'll give you one more what if moments.
Yeah, go for it.
What if David Tyree doesn't make that catch in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
The Patriots are on paper the greatest team of all time, 18-0, never before done. The Miami Dolphins don't get to have their champagne every year because the team went undefeated, and the dynasty's even crazier than it was.
What if that play was
wild.
The throw to Manningham on the sideline, the Eli throw, which is like considered one of the greatest throws in the history of the playoffs ever. That sideline throw to Mario Manningham was
Mario Manningham from
University of Michigan, unfortunately.
I think that's a good note to end on.
Yeah.
All right, but that's another episode of The Sportsman, guys. Like, comment, subscribe, do the Instagram, do the YouTube. That's how you're going to get your questions into Mr. Anderson. He will filter them down to us, and we will have them on the show. Thank you to everyone who's listening. Thank you, Kyle, Dan, and Kate, for all your questions. Boys, Sportsman, that's another one, man. That's Joey D. That's Mikey V. I'm the Big Ticket. Till next week, folks.